You're listening to Archer Radio. This is Archer of ArcherRadio.com, and today is Tuesday, April 18th, 2006. And as usual, you are listening to this on Wednesday, April 19th. You know, I'm just sitting here in the Archer Radio studios, and guess what I'm looking at? You probably won't guess, so I'll just tell you. I'm looking at a layer of dust on my desk and my credenza. You know, it's the time of the year when we're kind of like in a weather transition, that we're kind of in between winter and summer, and it's that area called spring. Well, the temperatures are driving me fucking crazy, and so is the pollen and dust that is created this time of the year. I think I talked about this last year, but, you know, it's the time of the year where the temperature is still cool at night, but it gets warm enough in the day to open your windows. And in my condo building, they won't turn on the air conditioning until, like, beginning of May, I think. So it's still pretty warm in here. So I open up the windows as soon as I get home from work, and I keep them open all night. Well, for the most part, unless it gets too chilly. But leaving them open, of course, that means you get the dust and the pollen in your house, and you have to dust twice as often, or even more than that. And you know how much I hate dusting. It's the thing I hate more than anything else. I'll vacuum, I'll clean the bathrooms, I'll even do the windows, but I hate dusting because I can never get ahead of it. Every day there's a layer of dust on my, and I have dark furniture, so the dust shows up really easily. And you know, what can you do about it? You can't do anything unless you shut your windows and keep them closed like you do in the wintertime, because I definitely have less dust in the wintertime. But I'm waiting for the next 2 weeks to be over, and it's warm enough for them to turn the air conditioning on. Then I can close the windows and keep the dust down, because I hate it. You know, and I said that it's like this layer. Actually, it's really on, well, like two pieces of furniture, really, that I see it the most on. That's my desk and my credenza. And you can see these little pellets of yellow dust, and I know it's from the pollen from leaving the fucking windows open. And I wish I could get rid of it. But anyway, so I was just sitting here thinking about that, and I was talking about it because I see it as I'm sitting here right now talking, and it drives me crazy. I hate it. But that's really not what I was going to talk about tonight. I was going to talk about the fucking high price of gasoline. You know, surely you heard today, because today is on Tuesday, and you heard that the price of a barrel of gas, or a barrel of oil, I should say, has risen to yet another high of $71.35 a barrel. Now, that broke yesterday's record of $70.40 a barrel. I don't know about you, but I'm paying, well, let's see, I haven't gotten gas for like 2 weeks because I went on vacation, didn't take my car, so it sat there and didn't use any gas. But now I'm down to about a quarter of a tank, and I'm going to have to get gas one day this week. Well, the last time I bought gas, I think I paid $2.37 for gas. I drove by a gas station today on the way home, and guess what the price of gas was? You know, I'm asking you to guess like you're going to be able to tell me. But the price of gas was $2.82. $2.82. That means it's risen more than 40 cents. Well, yeah, more than 40 cents in 2 weeks. And that's fucking ridiculous. So I know I'm going to probably spend $45 to fill up my tank of gas. And I've told you this before. I drive a small SUV, a Ford Escape. It's a six-cylinder, and it only gets about... excuse me. That was terrible. I've been trying not to do that lately, so forgive me. But as I was saying, I drive a small SUV, and the gas mileage is around 19 miles per gallon around the city, and about 22, 24, something like that on the highway, if it's just highway miles. So I have terrible gas mileage, but I'm just not ready to give up my SUV. Well, actually, in a heartbeat, I would give up my SUV if I could find a Honda Civic Hybrid with the navigation system. The Honda dealer that I've been bugging the hell out of say they don't have any in stock and they don't have any coming in, so I can't find one. And, you know, I go online and I do that request a quote thing through the car dealership websites, and I never hear back from them. I actually have to go to the dealership and bug the shit out of them to get me on the list or whatever. I have to, I have to buy a new car because this gas thing is absolutely killing me. You know, because I fill up probably once every 2 weeks. Well, that's almost like doubling my gas bill. I pay cash because I don't want to charge it. But, you know, that means I have to come up with an extra $15 or $30 more every 2 weeks. And that's just, well, I'm sure I'm not the only one living with this, but the gas prices are just too fucking high and they need to do something about it. And I need to get a new car. That's all there is to it. So, wish me luck on getting a new car. I probably won't get one until the summertime. But, I definitely want one. The only problem is if I get a new car, I know I've talked about this before, and I'm sorry if I'm being redundant or whatever, but if I get a new car, I don't know that I can afford the car payment. You know, like the offset of the gas, paying for gas, will not make up for what I will pay on a car payment. Because right now my car is paid for. That's like the biggest plus of not getting a new car, is I don't have a car payment, and I don't want to have to, you know, have it, you know, be poor each month because of a car payment. Then I wouldn't be able to enjoy and doing things with the boyfriend. So anyway, gas prices are driving me crazy, and I'm sure you saw that on the news, that they're too fucking high, and the price of gas or oil is way too high. But on the plus side, I heard the financial lady talking on ABC News about because today the stock market had a really good day. It rose almost 200 points. It's up to, like, I don't know, 11... What is it? I can go to my little dashboard widgets and check real quick. Yeah, it's 11,267 or 268.77. So it rose 194.99 points today, which is very good. Which is good for my, you know, tax deferred annuity, but not good for price of gas. So I guess they all work themselves out. Oh no, but I was saying that the financial lady said on the thing that, why is the stock market going up when the price of a barrel of oil is going up? And she said because the market is probably feeling that the Fed is not going to raise interest rates again because the cost of fuel is, what is it? It's affecting the GDP. So there'd be no reason to slow the economy when the oil prices are doing that for them. So there would be no reason to do that. Enough of that. Let's move on to something else. I did want to talk about that, you know, the lacrosse, the Duke University lacrosse thing. Today, those two guys got indicted or got arrested for the indictment or whatever for the alleged rape and whatever battery of that woman in North Carolina. Well, as it turns out, the one guy, Colin Finnerty or whatever, he's got a prior charge right here in D.C. actually. I should go to this website. I don't know if anybody else reads Towel Road. I believe that's how you pronounce it, but he did a little report on, he was quoting stuff from the New York Times, but he says, I should read this. It says, you may have heard about the Duke lacrosse team members who were involved in the alleged rape of an exotic dancer at a party recently. One of those team members, Colin Fernity, may also hold a previous assault record as a gay basher, according to the New York Times. Finnerty and two of his teammates from high school lacrosse were arrested on November 5th in Washington, D.C. At 2:30 a.m. that day, Jeffrey O'Bluxcombe told the police that the men had punched him in the face and body because he told them to stop calling him gay and other derogatory names, according to the records of the Superior Court of the District of Columbia. Bloxcombe also said that the three men, without provocation, had attacked him, busting his lip and bruising his chin. So this guy, Colin Finnerty, not only allegedly rapes exotic dancers, but he's also a gay basher. So this guy's got a history of sexual assaults and you know, just bad things. Now, so they were arrested today, it sounds like that guy Affinity may be the one who, if something was actually done, I don't really know, but if something was actually done, sounds like he's the one who will be, you know, taken to court over it. But the other guy that they arrested has no prior arrest record, and that says the attorney said that that guy has alibis and credit card receipts and all this stuff to show that he wasn't even there at the time of this alleged rape. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. Of course, the interesting thing that always happens in cases like this is that the race card is always pulled out instantly. Surely you've seen all of the things on the news about the rally that was out in front of the house about justice and how the court system is different for the poor black people than it is for the white rich people. Well, that may be the case in some situations, but I don't think that's the case here. I really do think that this is my take on it. I think I've said this before. I think the girl didn't get a big enough tip or wasn't happy with her payment or something and is making this up. She may not be making the entire thing up, but she's probably making up enough of it to get these guys in trouble. So, of course, that's just my take on it, and I could be totally wrong, as I have been in the past, and I will be the first to admit when I'm wrong. So that's just my take on it. And, you know, I'm entitled to my opinion, so whether people like it or not, I don't care for these rich white kids getting in trouble and getting them, you know, getting off because of their rich dads. But when they truly are innocent, I don't think they should be dragged through the mud because of it. So we'll just have to see how this guy gets out of his. I think the other one is going to get off, but it's the Joseph or the Colin Finnerty one that I think's. He may actually have done something because, well, he's got a prior record. So anyway, that's enough about that. You know what I totally forgot to talk about the other day? I had printed out this article and everything. I totally forgot about it. Was the Easter egg hunt at the White House. And I'm sure you've heard that. There was this kind of a little hoopla about them on Sunday because there was 200 gay families or 100 gay families that were going to show up at the White House and wear these rainbow-colored leis to the Easter egg roll thing at the White House. Well, as it turns out, they were hoping, because they waited in line overnight, and they were hoping to be like the first group that goes through the Easter egg roll, because the first groups always get to shake the president's hand and, you know, get the attention of the media and so forth. Well, as it turns out, the White House had already previously worked out children of families from Katrina to be the first group to go through. Oh my God, there I get it again. Sorry about that. So the gay families that were hoping to make a mark and show their the fact that they are gay families didn't quite work out, because they ended up being in the later groups that didn't get the media coverage or the get to shake the president's hand. But there was an article in the WashingtonPost.com that I wanted to just read. Well, it's a little bit long, but I'll go ahead and read it. Because this is the kind of stuff that most people who don't have the Washington Post don't get to hear. Anyway, it says, families roll Easter eggs at the White House. They waited in line overnight on Friday. They slogged through their 8 highly polished shoes through squishy muddy grass today, that would be Monday, all to roll some eggs, Easter eggs, at the White House lawn. But for the Grimont family of Oakton, Virginia, every mucky, cranky minute was worth it, because in addition to their 4 perfectly pressed pairs of pants, 4 starch collars, 4 ties, and those shoes, the quartet of 2 fathers and 2 sons wore rainbow-colored leis, and they believed by doing that they helped change America a little bit. Daniel Gree and James Mott were 2 of about 200 gay and lesbian parents who came with about 100 children to the traditional Easter event and wore the colorful leis to show Americans, quote, "We are everywhere," unquote, Mott said. The couple said they met co-workers who didn't know they were gay and were approached by White House staffers who quietly shook their hands and thanked them for coming. Their sons, Caleb, 8, and Alfred, 6, said they had a great time at the event. Excuse me. I even won an Easter egg. I even won the egg roll, Caleb said. Excuse me. They said everyone they met was supportive. The only sign of protest was a half dozen men who stood outside the South Lawn gates with large signs and a bullhorn they used to yell at the families, telling parents their children would be punished with colds for coming to the event and that the Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, and gay families are all make-believe. Now, how fucking cruel is that? Anyway, most of the gay and lesbian parents put their heads down and walked past them, but some of the other families lashed out at the protesters, clasping their hands over their children's ears and urging the men to go home. About 16,000 tickets were distributed for the popular 128-year-old Washington ritual. President Bush and First Lady Laura Bush greeted the early revelers, with the president blowing the whistle to begin the first egg roll on the lawn of the executive mansion. Okay, enough about that. Well, I just want to say that I'm proud of those families for, you know, making a show that we do have gay families in the United States, and that gay families can participate in the same things that the straight families can participate in. And I'm proud of them. That was good for them. Yeah. So that's it. Moving on to another story that I found very interesting. I found this on the website, on a website yesterday, about Jerry Falwell losing his court case against another guy who has a website that's falwell.com, but it's spelled F-A-L-L-W-E-L-L, something like that. Anyway, it says the U.S. Supreme Court on Monday declined to accept Reverend Jerry Falwell's appeal of a case that sought to shut down a website with a similar name but opposite views. Falwell claims that a gay New York City man improperly draws people to a site by using a common misspelling of the reverend's name as the site's domain name. A federal judge sided with Falwell, who runs a Virginia-based ministry, on grounds that Christopher Lamparello's domain name was nearly identical to the trademark bearing Falwell's name and could confuse web surfers. But last year, the Fourth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals disagreed and said that Lamparello was free to operate his, quote, gripe site about Falwell's views on gays. Lamparello clearly created his website intending only to provide a forum to criticize ideas, not to steal customers, the court said. The Jerry Falwell Ministries is F-A-L-W-E-L-L.com. Falwell's website is more high-tech, with pictures of the minister and sales material for books and videos. Lamparello's website is mainly in black and white with no photographs or items for sale. He says that Falwell is wrong in preaching that gay people are sinners who can change. At the top of his site reads a disclaimer: this website is not affiliated with Reverend Dr. Jerry Falwell or his ministry. Falwell's attorneys have fought over domain names in the past. 3 years ago, an Illinois man surrendered the domain names jerryfalwell.com and jerryfalwell.com with two L's after Falwell threatened to sue for trademark infringement. So good for this guy. He won a good court case. He can continue to lampoon Jerry Falwell on his gripe site. I think that's great. Good for him. More power to him. And I found that on this website called southernvoice.com, sovo.com. I guess it's gay stuff related to gay things. So good for that guy. And screw Jerry Falwell. As much as, I mean, I can't stand the man. I don't know of many people who can stand him, so fuck him. Fuck him, fuck him, fuck him. Okay, let's move on. As you know, this is show 199. Tomorrow is show 200. And I've decided that I'm going to plan to be on Skype tomorrow evening at 7:30. Not tomorrow evening. That would be tonight, Wednesday. Wednesday evening, tonight, at 7:30. I'll be recording the 200th show, but I think that I'm going to open up Skype just to see who's on and who I can just chat with while I'm recording the 200th show. Now, if it goes anything like it's going tonight, no one will be online, because currently I have Skype open, but nobody's online. Because I opened Skype because I'm having what's called, which I'm going to now phrase, podcaster's block. You know, they have writer's block, where writers can't think of what to write about. Well, I'm having podcaster's block, where you cannot think of what to talk about. I, you know, had to find those news clips. Well, I was interested in those anyway, but because I was sitting here at the computer late this afternoon thinking, what the hell am I going to talk about on tonight's show for show 199? So I got on Skype and I'm looking to see who's on there. There's nobody on there. And then I decided I was going to go ahead and crank up iChat. I have not been on iChat for quite a long time. So I do that. I, you know, click on iChat and it pops open. And guess who's online? Larry of the Little Fatty Cast. So I also was online was Andrew from the I Say podcast in England. But Larry sends me a message and we start chatting and we have this nice chat going along. And then Andrew from the I Say podcast messages me and we have a conversation going. So I'm having these two conversations going at the same time and I was thinking, God damn it, we need to do like an audio thing and have these all these guys together in one conference room. But I didn't do it. We had like two separate conversations going completely and it was all through, IM messages on iChat. So, but anyway, I had a really nice chat with Mr. Larry Vader, that's V-A-D-E-R, of the Little Fatty Cast, and, you know, he is quite an interesting man. He's, in that dating scene thing, and he's, well, of course, he talks about that too, but, he's got some irons in the fire, and he's working on things, and Mr. Larry Vader, I wish you good luck with that little project that we were talking about, and you'll have to keep me posted on how that's going. So anyway, I had a nice chat with Larry Vader. He had already recorded his show for the day, so he didn't, he wasn't recording anything, so that was good. But, that was a really fun chat with Mr. Larry Vader. And at the same time, I was chatting with Andrew of the I Say podcast, and we were talking about all kinds of things, and I was telling him that I figured out how to do calling out on Skype and that I really want to get him on the show because he does his own little show now. I'm sure I've talked about it before and I would really like to have a conversation with him and just chat about stuff, but the time difference is so screwed up. That's why we are never able to catch each other. Like, for example, I got on, I think it was at 5:30 Eastern time and it was like 11:30 his time. So he was just getting ready to go to bed and, you know, I'm just starting out. So, in terms of like recording a show with him, it's going to be really tough. Either he's going to have to stay up later, I'm going to have to get up earlier, or catch him during the day sometime or something like that. I don't know what, but I keep telling him I want to have him on the show. It would be really cool if I would get Jason, his partner, on the show too. It's Jason, right? Yeah, it's Jason. I think it's Jason. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, get those guys on the show. I'll have to do that sometime. But anyway, I was going back to... See, I got this... I'm getting all off track now. I was talking about having podcaster's block. Now, you heard that first on Archer Radio. For those podcasters out there, when you don't know what to talk about, it's now called podcaster's block. Excuse me. Oh my God, that's the third burp on this show. This is terrible. That burp was so bad, it was like the earthquake in San Francisco. No, that was actually going to be my next topic because I forgot to mention on yesterday's show that today, being Tuesday, was the 100th anniversary of the 1906 earthquake in San Francisco that, totally tore up San Francisco. I actually watched it on the news this morning at 5:18 a.m., California time. They had a wreath laying ceremony on the clock or whatever that monument or whatever it is they have in San Francisco to commemorate the 100th anniversary of the earthquake. And last night on the on PBS on American Experience, I saw this show that it was only half an hour long, talking about the Great Earthquake, and they call it the Great Earthquake. In San Francisco, and like for the people who lived through it, who were still alive, they were doing little interviews and stuff like that. So that was really cool. So, and then it made me think instantly, in 100 years, will we have a 100-year anniversary of Hurricane Katrina? Or will between now and then we will have a more devastating national or a natural disaster that will, outdo both of those? And on the news, they did a little thing about the earthquake, and they said that if the earthquake took place today at the same magnitude, 26,000 people would die. because at the time there were 800,000 people in San Francisco, and only like 3,000 people died. So I thought that was interesting. Anyway, oh God, here we go again. It's getting to that time where I'm chatted all this time about absolutely nothing, and the time has ticked away, and it's almost 25 minutes. So I'm going to stop. But I will remind you that one more time, Wednesday, today, April 19th, I will be recording the 200th podcast of Archer Radio at 7:30 tonight. And you can, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can get on Skype if you would like to. I'm just going to crank it up, see who's on there. And we will see what I can record. I really haven't even thought about the 200th show, what I'm going to talk about. I mean, I have a couple ideas, but nothing is in stone. And I, of course, do not have it recorded yet. So anyway, boys and girls, thank you so much for listening. Check out Skype tonight at 7:30 if you have the chance. And definitely tune in tomorrow for the 200th podcast. And thank you all who have sent in your audio clips. You will be hearing them all on the 200th show. So, boys and girls, until next time, bye.
You've been listening to Archer Radio.